Marianne Slattery. I'm a senior water researcher at the Australia Institute. I conduct research into issues around the Murray-Darling Basin.
What sort of things has that involved?
We've done some research on some Commonwealth water purchases that the Commonwealth's required to recover water to return extraction limits to sustainable limits. We've done some research on the amendments that the Murray-Darling Basin Authority has recently put through to Parliament that were subject to a disallowance by the Senate in February. We've done some research into numbers that have been changing. The MWBA has been changing estimates into numbers into South Australia.
What sort of time frame have you been doing this research over?
I've been with the Australia Institute since last November.
Right, so it sounds like you've been quite busy since that time. Well, let's have a look at the specific case that has happened recently where the Eastern Australia Agriculture wanted 2,200 per megalitre of water they were selling back, and somehow or other that water ended up being purchased for a lot more than this. Can you let us know what's happened here, please?
The Commonwealth has been trying to achieve water recovery targets in valleys across the basin. The Condamine Boulogne Valley, which is in southern Queensland, has been very difficult to achieve a water recovery target. And that's a very big river. There's a lot of water in that valley with a very high level of development. That's also very important ecologically. It's really important that the Commonwealth is able to recover water from that valley. The Commonwealth was in negotiations with Eastern Australian Agriculture, which holds two large properties in the Lower Boulogne, Kiora, which is immediately north of Cubby Station, and a property called Clyde, which is immediately to the left of Cubby Station. The start of those negotiations with Eastern Australian Ag offered 5.4 gigalitres of water to the Commonwealth for 2,200 a megalitre, but importantly that included the cost of a dam for $16 million. Eastern Ag said that they didn't have any use for the dam without the water, and that was really a condition of sale that the Commonwealth bought the dam. So we undertook this research through examining documents that were made available to the Senate under order for production of documents by Rex Patrick. The documents showed that the next time Eastern Ag and the Department of Agriculture and Water Resources was talking about the purchase, they said that they recognised that the Commonwealth couldn't actually buy the dam or give direct compensation for the dam. So they indicated they would change the per megalitre price to incorporate the cost of the dam.
What sort of conclusions did you come to with this information?
The price per megalitre was increased to include the cost of the dam. But then by the time the negotiations were drawing to an end, Eastern Ag withdrew its offer to transfer the dam over to the Commonwealth and said that they may make the dam available subject to further agreement. And my concern with that would be that the Commonwealth would then be asked to pay subsequently for use of the dam. The price of that the Commonwealth has paid per megalitre is disturbing because it's very high, and it would seem as though they factored in the cost of the dam, which is no longer available. But the real issue is that the Commonwealth has bought overland flow licences. So these are licences for water that flows across a floodplain. The property will have big levee banks up that captures that water, and it essentially sits as a dam. They might pump it into another dam or keep it, you know, within those levee banks and irrigate from that area. A really important part of this is that those licences are attached to land, so they can't be traded. You can't trade an overland licence because they're attached to land. Other water licences that are a right to extract water out of a river are separated from land, and that means that they can be traded within a valley and in some circumstances between valleys.
Why would the government be buying an overland licence, water licence? What is the value of that?
Well, I think there's little to no value in that, but what it does do is the government has countered this towards their water recovery target, which they have had a lot of trouble meeting in the Condamine Boulogne Valley.
What's the importance then of the Condamine Valley? How does that relate to the Murray-Darling Basin?
Well, the Condamine Boulogne Valley is a valley in the north of the basin in southern Queensland. the Boulogne River is one of the four biggest rivers in the Murray-Darling Basin. So you have the three big rivers in the south, the Murray, the Murrumbidgee and the Goulburn, and then you've also got the Boulogne in the north. So it has a lot of water in it. The floodplain has high ecological value. You've got a lot of, you've got Ramsar wetlands up there, and that river, you know, is a source for a lot of the rivers in the northern basin.
So if I understand you correctly, the water that they've purchased basically runs over a floodplain and may or may not actually move into the river anyway. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in this particular example, it's either going to stay on the property that it was purchased from. If it was to flow off that property because the levee banks were decommissioned or removed, there's nothing to stop it being captured by the next property down. In this case, Cubby Station, if that water left the floodplain and returned to a river, there is absolutely no mechanism to recognise that water as belonging to the Commonwealth. There's no mechanism to order that water or protect that water, and that water can legally be taken by anyone else with a water licence.
Yes, that was going to be my next question, is like, how would you track this water if you've bought X amount of water? How would you track that it's actually getting into a river?
You might be able to track if water is entering a river, but there's no legal ownership of that water outside that property. Regardless of whether you can see water going into a river or not, it's no longer the Commonwealth's water once it leaves that property boundary.
This certainly seems like a very strange deal for the Commonwealth to have entered into, to have purchased water that may or may not, you know, work its way into a river and doesn't actually have any ownership of it once it does.
No, that's right. I think it's the desperation for the Commonwealth to be seen to be meeting a water recovery target.
All right, so having sort of discovered this and written a report about it, where do you hope to take the information next? Like, what do you hope to happen next?
Oh, I think what definitely needs to happen is a full audit from the Australian National Audit Office. This is not the only problematic purchase. This is one of several. And there are plenty of other examples where the Commonwealth has got water on its books. So on paper, it's got water. But the validity of that water and whether it can actually achieve environmental outcomes is very doubtful. So there needs to be a full audit of the Commonwealth portfolio.
So can you give us some examples of some of the other problem purchases? What else has been going on?
There was a purchase of water in the Lower Darling at a property called Tandale at about the same time as this purchase last year. The justification that the Commonwealth gave for that purchase was that they would reconfigure Menindee Lakes and no longer have to deliver that water. So the Commonwealth paid for the water, it will sit on their books, but the intent is that that water will no longer be delivered. There was a purchase, again, around the same time in the Warrego Valley for water, you know, in that valley which is already fully recovered. The Warrego has very low connectivity to the Bowen Darling, the next river down. It's only in very wet years that river will connect. So that might improve some environmental values in the Warrego Valley, but they're environmental values that the Commonwealth didn't feel that were necessary to be met because it had assumed that valley was already meeting its environmental targets. And that water is not going to count one drop down to South Australia, for example, or Menindee Lakes and contribute very little to the Darling River itself.
So you're talking about an audit that needs to happen. Who would conduct this audit?
I think it needs to be an audit of the Australian National Audit Office, and it would be an audit both on value for money, the procurement processes that the government has acquired these licences, and also whether the water actually exists or not, whether it exists and whether it is going to contribute to environmental outcomes.
So what's the process then needed to get this department to do this?
The Australian National Audit Office has certainly looked at Commonwealth purchases under the Labor government in the past, two large purchases of water and property that they investigated. So there's precedent for them doing this. Anything that's Commonwealth expenditure, the Australian National Audit Office has a role in auditing. Senator Rex Patrick, I understand, has referred this purchase to the Audit Office.
having discovered this one, what else are you looking at around water and water purchases?
Well, the next project that we'll be looking at is the proposed amendment to the Southern Connected System for the Murray-Darling Basin. There's a Murray-Darling Basin Authority have an amendment in Parliament at the moment to reduce the water recovery target by 605 gigalitres in the Southern Connected System. And we'll be having a look at some of the aspects around that amendment.
And how long do you expect that to take?
We would hope to have something published by the end of April.